Let's move on to the next speaker, Ruth Hunt from Stonewall. Ruth is someone who is very forthright in her challenge of the department, I think it's fair to say, but also a very constructive contributor to the work of SOGIAG. I think your main slot here now, Ruth, is to talk about experiences of LGBT people working within health and social care, but also to refer back to what you spoke about earlier, a lesbian health project, where we didn't get to see the artwork that goes with it, and hopefully we will do so now.
Okay, here's a little idea about what the artwork's going to look like that we're quite excited about. Ignore the words. That's done by our editor, who doesn't know much about lesbian stuff. So the words are just there to get an idea of the space. But this is going to be the artwork. What we're going to put in is some mouths, in case anybody perceives that lesbians are silenced through their lack of visual mouths, as advised by some of our more useful stakeholders. So basically, that's going to go in things like, and you've got to imagine gaydar girls, G3, is very sort of orientated towards the youth market. Because what we figured is that if you ask an older lesbian to fill in a survey, she probably will. If you ask a young person to fill in a survey, you'll probably have to ask them 5 times. So there'll be 5 repetitive banners on gaydar girls. I'm becoming quite an expert. So basically, this artwork is going to be included in all the magazines. There'll be postcards sent out, and they're going to all the pubs and clubs, of course, but also places like libraries, women's groups, BME groups, disabled groups, housing groups, and also my favourite method of it accessing the LGBT community, which is all through all the message boards. And we have a MySpace profile with 4,000 members. We've got a Bebo profile with 2,000 members. We've got a Facebook profile with more. I don't really understand all of it, but all. Take the jargon, but basically the aim is to get this artwork out as far and as wide as possible and include it on the magazines. So if there's any major thoughts on that artwork, please do come and have a chat with me. We are trying to reflect the diversity of the lesbian community, which, as I'm sure you can imagine, is quite a challenging exercise. So you'll see that's what that's trying to achieve. So any feedback, please do come and have a chat with me. The thing that I'm here to talk about right now is a report on the experiences of lesbian, gay and bisexual people working in the health and social care sector. Now, Justin's going to talk to you about this in detail. Unfortunately, we can't circulate this report yet. The Department of Health is still considering it and considering their response, which is fair enough. The report is called Being the Gay One, Experiences of Lesbian, Gay and Bisexual People Working in the Health and Social Care Sector. We conducted in-depth interviews with 21 people, and a very big thank you to Unison, BMA, RCN, RCM, GLAAD, who've put our information out there to get people to come forward. And we've got a range of people from all sectors, all levels, all genders, all locations. What they had in common is that they were experiencing discrimination the like of which we didn't really imagine. And what they also had in common is they often felt that what they were experiencing didn't constitute discrimination. It was just kind of what you had to put up with, isn't it? And what that highlighted to us at Stonewall is there's a very big lack of awareness by staff themselves about what they should have to expect, by the managers about how they should intervene, and from the trust themselves in terms of how they implement policies. We never would claim that this study is representative, that we don't use figures like 20, 30, 40 to say, ergo, 90% of the LGBT people in the health sector are discriminated against. We prefer slightly bigger samples. But what we do get is a flavour of the kind of things that are going on. And the types of things that are going on are, for example, a woman receives a promotion, goes out for a drink with her consultant. Afterwards, the consultant says, "Tell me about your partner." The partner emerges that she's a she, and the consultant says, "I'm really glad I didn't know about that before the interview because that would have had an impact on your appointment," without any kind of awareness that that's inappropriate, that that's wrong, that that's illegal, and that's unlawful. It's kind of acceptable. Other stories we hear from a staff nurse who's on night duty, long hours, with a senior ward sister, and the ward sister makes her read from the Bible every night because she thinks that being gay is a problem. Now, the nurse says it's kind of understandable because she is religious, isn't she? And it was very hard for us as researchers to say, no, that's completely unacceptable. Would you like us to bring our lawyers down now? I mean, we had to stay very kind of impartial in that process. So there's very rich evidence. And what we've come out of it is a series of recommendations for the Department of Health, which Justin will talk about. But I think it's absolutely crucial that they start investigating exactly what training is going on throughout the health sector, because of all the people we spoke to and received emails from, nobody had received training of any sort except half a mention about HIV somewhere in the time when they were training originally. And as we all know, gay people's experiences are not just about HIV. Communication, LGBT staff need to know their rights, they need to unionise, they need to join staff networks, they need to be part of that conversation. And looking at things like raising the profile of LGBT staff, lots of people said, I'm the only gay person who's working here, I'm the only person who's going on here, and therefore I'm prone for discrimination, and I stand out. And role models, and we heard from lots of women about the fact they felt very isolated, that they didn't know any other gay women working in the sector, and found that very hard. And I think what it illustrates is just quite at the stage that the health sector is in. A lot of them also said, look at the police, look at the private sector, look at the law firms. They're making massive progress. Discrimination wouldn't be tolerated. They would be disciplined. I would feel protected. That is not what we have going on in the health sector. So I'm really looking forward to this report coming out, and I hope that the recommendations lead to some further work so we can really help the health sector get to the next stage in this. Thank you very much.